about how in the it describes how love is there in the different stages. So I wonder if you could describe some of the beginning stages, how that priti is manifested in Shraddha, Vajrakriya, and Vajrakriya.
I don't know, I have to see the book. But he points out that there are always there to varying degrees, the fact that you have faith, all of these stages are actually products themselves, effects of the preview of the love that's actually being uncovered. So by that sadhusanga, you get a little faith. That faith, the effect of that faith, or the faith is the effect, actually, of the influence of that beginning of uncovering. And my memory is not good enough in what type of language he uses and terms he uses. Don't you have a folio right there? That's
no,
not on.
Yes.
Anyway, if you look, it's very brief. It's like a page and a half. And he describes how it's in increasing incremental stages. And because of that, like he says here, Sattam, Yuktam, Ambhajata, Priti Purvakam, then one will be able to, one experiences real, although not mature, symptoms that correspond to the symptoms of development of attachment. So usually we don't call it love. Usually words like attachment are called. But you see, as it starts to advance, when someone has ruchi, it means that he's actually got some taste. And then he's the word asakti, which is actually attachment, and sometimes sort of corresponds to something. Then the idea is rati. Rati is actually another word. We don't have all these suitable words. And then after rati, which means actually the stage of bhava, and then comes prema. And then after that, there come further stages of prema, sneha, mama, bhag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav, sumhan, pranay. These are also different unfolding of love. And they all have the symptoms. Someone else?
I get the impression that to go back to Krishna, we have to be absolutely 100% purified, which seems very high order to achieve in this lifetime.
You definitely have to be 100% pure to get to the spiritual world. Yeah. Is that a question or an observation?
Well, it comes out to me as a difficulty that this is required, and yet it's suggested to us that we can achieve this in this lifetime. So it doesn't seem to be add up.
Well, if you measure the years that you practice Krishna consciousness on a chart or a scale, then you may start coming to the conclusion that effort alone will not be enough. But whereas it takes us a lot to become Krishna conscious, it doesn't take Krishna very much to make us Krishna conscious, for Krishna to make us Krishna conscious. But we have to want it. So more than being Krishna conscious is wanting to be Krishna conscious. If you really want to be Krishna conscious and practice Krishna conscious very, very sincerely, then even though one may, by one's own effort, not have fully purified one's heart, Krishna can achieve anything by his own desire, provided that he's not imposing something on us that we don't want. That he's not going to do. So, like Madhavendra Puri, and so he's a eternal associate, but still, even when he's leaving this world, he's playing the role of a conditioned soul. And he's crying out like that. He says, how will I achieve you? He's expressing that there has to be a dependence on Krishna, a dependence to actually achieve the qualification by which we can achieve him. In other words, we're not trying to become advanced to attain prema. We want to attain prema because it's the means of attaining him. Without it, you can't get him. You can't get Krishna. And we want to be able to serve Krishna in a perfect environment and in an eternal environment. And in order to be able to do that type of service, which is much superior to the service that we're doing at the present time in our conditioned state, then we need to be elevated to become a qualified servant. And if Krishna very, very much sees that you want that qualification, he can give it. So what could take us, janma and janma, life after life, you just do it like that. But he can only do it, or he does only do it when you really want it. And then if you want it, then you have to be able to, if you really want something, then you have to be able to cry for it. Just like children. And the best way to bring out that desire is by chanting Hare Krishna. It's the best form of uncovering that ability to be able to cry after Krishna. So he can bridge that shortage that we have as a result of our own Krishna consciousness. And by that you can see as more and more devotees are leaving their bodies, at least more devotees that we know of, devotees are already leaving their bodies, and non-devotees have always been leaving their bodies. Everyone leaves their body. That in many cases you see when devotees are coming, there's a lot of transformation going on in the last stages of their life. In the last days of their life. What's going on, we may not be fully privy to, but you can get the sense that there's definitely a lot happening there. And it's between Krishna and the devotee. So, we have to have that faith in what Krishna's saying. And if we really want to go to him, then he'll arrange for the means to do so. In other words, he will purify us. But only the pure can go. Can not be pure. But he can make you pure very easily. We make ourselves pure. So, same way Krishna does.
That there is a special consciousness that works, that is the
not a bad motivation, but it's not pure motivation. We may want to try and practice Krishna consciousness to be happy, not to suffer, but it won't work. Because you're in a material world and you're going to suffer. Anyone not in that condition? So one way or another, anyone who's got eyes recognizes that they're suffering. Only really bewildered people think that they're not suffering. And so better not even try. And when we talk about this idea of anyavadashita shunyam jnana karmaj, this jnana also means this desire to be free from suffering. Or just, I want to practice Krishna consciousness because by Krishna consciousness I won't suffer. I'll suffer less here in the material world, and I'll certainly won't suffer when I get to the spiritual world. It's true that the devotees will not live lives like ordinary people. Karma and material punishment are not meant for them, although they still get some token of it. So being aware of those things is not a problem, but they shouldn't be the motivation for our activities. Just like, why don't we want other people to suffer? We don't want other people to suffer because pleases Krishna. We want other people to also become servants of Krishna, to please Krishna. And our motivation for them not suffering is because Krishna is pleased when they're not suffering. So that should be the primary, that's the lead. And the other things can be consequences. Here the main thing is, what is the main motivation that drives our activity? And so these things aren't bad, because Krishna himself says that people may come. So arto jignasu, arto artigyani. New people come to Krishna. They're all good. So these are sukritina. So this is a good thing. Anything is good that takes you to Krishna. But going to Krishna, the closer you get, the narrower the bandwidth gets. And the more pointed the purpose needs to be. And so ultimately we want to act in a way that will be beneficial. On the other hand, for Krishna, on the other hand, there are, for instance, you're in a certain situation, you're in the kitchen, and you burn your hand. Well, Krishna consciousness means you're not supposed to be trying to decrease your suffering, so I shouldn't bandage it, I shouldn't do anything. That's not what it's about. Why? Because if I'm suffering too much, then I can't please Krishna. So if I don't tend to the burn on my hand, if I don't put some ointment on it and bandage it, and then I won't be able to cook, and I won't be able to please Krishna. So when the purpose of decreasing suffering is to serve Krishna, then again, it's fine. So that's, in that circumstance, and in other circumstances, one may want to decrease the suffering situation, because if I'm in a suffering situation, my ability to serve Krishna, it's not there. But if all that I want to do is just to get out of suffering because it's not pleasant, and that's my motivation, then that in itself is not so ideal. But by the process of devotional service, one becomes free from that in any case. Well, idea is that Krishna consciousness purifies our heart, and like snake sheds its skin, so these things fall off in their proper season. Same thing. We say chant and be happy. Well, aren't we meant to be happy? So So yes, because if someone is actually in a joyful condition of life, Krishna says, Shushupam Pratimajayam, he's naturally more inclined to be in a mood to serve Krishna, particularly conditioned souls. So it's not wrong that, yes, we want to, I'd like to have a pain-free and an anxiety-free life so that I can just focus myself on Krishna's service. There's no harm in thinking like that. If Krishna brings pain and anxiety in your life, then all right, if that's what he wants, I'll continue to do my best. So it always has to be what the ultimate purpose is. There may be immediate conditions that may appear to be ordinary. But if this preeti or this love is what's actually driving us forward, then it's all right. Someone's attacking you. Should you defend yourself or not? If I don't defend myself, how can I serve Krishna? I'm not pleasing. So my business is to defend myself. If, despite the fact that I try my best to defend myself and I can't, well, that's Krishna's business. So both things are there, the desire to be free from suffering and to actually be in a favorable condition of life. And so long as the, as Prabhupada would say, dovetailed or connected to pleasing Krishna, then they're fine. That should be always be the end goal or meditation where we're going. Something else.
Saying that we should invoke Krishna's direction, but then
we should
invoke Krishna's direction, but then we should follow it. And there's a prayer in each Upanishad which says, please remove all the obstacles to my progress, so there will be no hindrance to my progress. So could you pray that I don't just want your direction, but I also want the ability to follow it? Or would that be unfair?
No. Yeah, you can pray to Krishna. Please remove this obstacle in my life so that I can serve you. So people say, give us our daily bread. If you're asking for daily bread, because when you get your daily bread so that I can serve you, it's all right. If you just stop there, please give me my daily bread, then it's not all right. So if we're asking Krishna to remove obstacles because those obstacles are causing a difficulty in our Krishna consciousness, in our ability to serve Him, then that's all right. But if He doesn't remove the obstacles, then we say, okay, well, He's leaving them there because He wants me to do my best even with them. Because there are always, and that's what Srimad Bhagavatam is about, Prahlad Maharaj had obstacles, Dhruva Maharaj had obstacles, demons are coming to Vrindavan every day. All of Srimad Bhagavatam is all about how devotees overcome obstacles in spiritual life. That basic conviction that we are in Krishna's hands. The initiation means that Sakya Deva Pratanavayas Tavadnati Jagachati, that I come and I say to Krishna, from this day on I'm yours. Interesting that that same verse is there in the Ramayana, and it's also there, I saw it somewhere else, Krishna saying it, some Purana somewhere. I just think because I was the other day I did this podcast, I was saying about what's of the essence of a guru-disciple relationship was, which was the substance, not the external world, but actually what was its essential nature, its vastu, and then the vastu is actually the real faithfulness. Because the other day I met with some devotees who wanted to become disciples, and whenever we read scripture, we see this emphasis on accepting guru and then taking initiation and then sort of like, you know, following, and how important those things are. And they are. But it's also sort of culturally indicative of something that in a culture where a person makes a commitment, in other words, you accept a guru, accepting guru means now I follow you, you tell me what to do, I do it. And I take these vows and I follow them and that's it. So in a culture where truthfulness continues, it's sort of understood that the external symptom, the behavior, the words represent actually the real substance within. But in Kali Yuga, truthfulness goes. Right? So nowadays, if you got an excuse for something, that's it. You don't have to, doesn't matter what you said anymore in the past, you just go out the window. So now it's no longer, it's a great thing, let's accept the spiritual master, you get initiated. But did you really accept the spiritual master? Did you really get initiated? Well, let's sit down in 20 years and talk about it, and then we'll know. Right? Because it's the external expression, but whether the real substance is actually there, that time will tell. And what's my trade? Oh, yeah, Sakadeva. And so, this expression is such a beautiful phrase. I'm sure I mentioned it before, maybe in the year. It's when Bibhishan comes and he comes to Lord Ramachandra to join him before they start building the bridge. And none of the monkeys trust him. And Lord Ramachandra says, no. He says, my vow. And he says, I've taken a vow that if someone comes to me and they say, from this day on, I say, I'm yours. I give the person protection always and I shelter. It's the same thing Krishna says, the identical same thing, identical words somewhere else in Sankara. So it's a very beautiful expression, but it's not just a matter of saying the words. It's, do the words actually represent that from this day on I'm yours? If they do, then we're in Krishna's hands. And if they're just words, then anyway, Krishna's in our hearts, he knows. So, but when we really actually give ourselves Krishna, when it really means yes, from this day on I'm yours, then that's it, materialized over. Although we're in the material world, and Krishna's using material elements to purify us, but we are in Krishna's hands. I don't know if there's such a thing, but then there used to be, when I was very young, television show. Oh yes, it was the 20th century. It was the 20th century, not the 20th, when it was all historical movies. It was from one of these, documentary, obviously a documentary. And it was sponsored by the Allstate insurance company. And the symbol was two hands, and it was there, you're in good hands with Allstate. Have you seen it? Two hands, and there was a family standing in the two hands, so that was their model, you're in good hands with Allstate. So it's like that, you know, when you say that you give yourself to Krishna, then you know, you're in Krishna's hands, and you're in good hands with Krishna. I don't know, I'll say, hey, we're not bankrupt right now, but Krishna's still there. So when we give ourselves to Krishna, we're in good hands with Krishna, we just have to be willing to accept whatever's going on, it's for the better. People go through, especially nowadays, a phenomenal amount of pain, surgery, etc., to get better. And then they do get better. But sometimes the doctor may say, you're going to have 4 operations before this is all over. And you're going to have to go through like fasts and this type of regimen and this type of confined to hospital, and it's going to take some years. And so we're pretty diseased, but if we are able to really make this real commitment to Krishna, and that's what this Saptami Uttama means, that we really give ourselves to Krishna, then more or less material life is over. And Krishna takes control from that point on. To an ordinary person, it may look the same. But everything looks the same to ordinary people. But by spiritual understanding, devotees live a very different life. And as long as, and once we've given and we stay in Krishna, then Krishna just says, Sabadavan, but you just surrender to me, and then he takes you back to Krishna. Because he said, this is my vow. So that's Krishna's, that was Srila Prabhupada's message. Very simple. Just give yourself to Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna. Krishna will take you back to Godhead. Then you won't have any suffering.